But that's Psalm 110, and you'll hear echoes of that in the familiar scripture reading for today. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Maybe you've heard these verses already today, like the Advent reading. So there's the king there in Psalm 110, and talks about the arrival of a king, the reign that was expected to come on David's throne. And that song was written about 1,000 years before what we hear in this scripture reading from Luke. Also, during our Advent season, we've heard from the prophets, and that would have been about 700 years before the reading we hear from Luke today. Verses just prior to this, if you look back there, there's an angel comes to announce the birth of what would be the last Old Testament prophet. As we like to ask, who's the last Old Testament prophet? John the Baptist. He's the last one to come and proclaim the coming of Messiah. And so his birth is foretold, and now in flesh appearing, the Lord is on his way, and here the prophet is not just a voice calling in the wilderness, but he's part of an angelic chorus announcing births. Here's the arrival of a greater child. I trust you know this child and may even know this passage. But look with me and listen with me again to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together. Father, your word is faithful and true, and this morning as we approach these particular words of assurance and promise, we would ask by your Holy Spirit to use these words to point us once again straight to you, the Lord of salvation. In whose name we pray. Amen. Probably be mentioning this again tonight if you're here, the gathering with the candles, if you remember that one. Over the last few years, probably the last 4 years or so, this particular body has received many birth announcements. I was counting it up, maybe you have two. It's like 20, at least 20 birth announcements. And they're very exciting to receive, as you know. And the news is delivered often by email, sometimes on Grace Talk, the news breaks, maybe on Facebook, that's where you find out. Maybe you actually received one of those lovely cardstock cards. I don't know if people still do that anymore. We used to get those. So whatever the vehicle for the announcement, you know what to expect. You expect certain statistics. The name of the child, of course, the probably the height, the weight, batting average, things like that. And sometimes a photo is attached. And if you actually get one of those cardstock ones in the mail or in your church mailbox, what do you do with it? We know what you do with it. You put it prominently, proudly, happily on the front of your refrigerator. Because that seems to be the highest expression of worthiness that we can do as Americans. Right on the front of the fridge. And so here's the new arrival. Announced and rejoiced in by the welcomers. And if the fridge is your favorite and best response to the news of a birth, then I could ask you, I suppose rhetorically, but hopefully not with shame, is when you hear the birth announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ every year, probably multiple times, what is your best expression of excitement and praise and worthiness? There's something more than a fridge. Maybe you say, well, I show up, I sing my songs, and I mean it, okay? But if it's true that the Lord has come and there's joy to the world and earth has received her king, doesn't that look like something and sound like something that isn't always ho-hum and too familiar or even bah humbug? You say, I would never say that about my Savior. I'd never feel that. And yet we come to familiar words like the birth narrative or the birth announcement that we hear in Luke's gospel, and we sometimes lack the joy within ourselves. And so here's this announcement. We'll go over it again. Maybe you've heard a sermon or four on this text before. Maybe you'll find that you even want to tell this truth yourself. There's so many different ways to walk through verses like this. This is one way to do it. I'd like to focus on the rejoicing aspect of what we're calling a most unusual birth announcement. It is unusual. We'll see some of the unusual characters. And the fridge is fine for some things, for some messages. But I think you can do more with this particular information that Luke details right here. Rejoicing in things like the baby's arrival. That'll be point one. The baby's name. That's point two. We'll look at that. And we'll rejoice also in the details that surround the baby's weight. The baby's weight. So, no alliteration today. You'll make it. Arrival, name, and weight on this birth announcement. Three items for our rejoicing. Arrival, name, and weight. And the first point is probably the longest. It's got some moving parts to it. It's the baby's arrival. Let's see how our rejoicing is doing in the baby's arrival. Look with me at the details listed in verses 26 and 27. Luke writes this. In the sixth month, okay, so that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that was just described. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, again, the same angel who recently foretold the birth of John the Baptist. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And so far, you probably knew all that. So why are you even here? Tell me something I don't know. Okay, so here's the arrival that you've heard before. It's been announced. Birth of the baby, this baby. God's people already knew, by the way, where the baby was supposed to be born. Remember the Magi? They were looking it up. Micah told us. We heard that in the Advent reading last week. 700 years earlier, the announcement went out. The baby, the coming one, will be born in Bethlehem. Okay, so that'll be the place. So here comes the angel Gabriel. By the way, one of only two angels mentioned by name in the Bible. You know who the other one is? This isn't a quiz. It's Michael. Yeah, so Gabriel and Michael. And here we receive, by way of angelic voice, the fact that it's time for the baby to arrive. Right now. Not another 700 years. It's now time. And with that anticipation already brewing in Luke's account, notice next how the angel unfolds the nature of the baby's arrival. This is a baby announcement, if you will. It gets pretty unusual. First, verse 28. See it there? The angel came to her, Mary, and said, greetings, or you could say, Ave. Ave Maria, Latin, Ave Maria. Or some might say, Hail Mary, full of grace. You ever hear that one? Or, greetings, O favored one, you who are highly favored, right? The Lord is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord is with you. Then listen to this, verse 29. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. You could ask yourself, what was troubling Mary? Was it the greeting? It's a favorable greeting, so you think, so far so good. Doesn't look like I'm in trouble for something. So is she troubled by the fact that there's an angel who's talking to her at all? Because that'd be pretty startling, maybe troubling. That could be part of it. But notice that Luke specifically mentions that it's Gabriel's words, what he's saying, that caused her trouble. In other words, evidently Mary, in her modesty, her humility, couldn't understand why the angel was greeting her. And so kindly at that. Who was she? Why her? What's this all about? This is unusual. And for a Jewish reader at the time, and maybe to this day, this birth announcement already is off to a very odd start. You might be wondering, why is Gabriel coming to Galilee? That's not the it place. Isn't our storyline more about Jerusalem? At least get to Judah. Some area of Judea, the royal city? I mean, come on. Not Nazareth. That's Hicksville. The angels go into this no-name, teenage, pregnant girl, or almost pregnant. Here comes the announcement. She's poor and lowly, and she's favored. So far, this is unusual. So tell me more. Okay, well, look with me at what is said in the next couple of verses. This is pretty straightforward stuff. Might not seem unusual, the announcement of the baby's arrival. Verse 30 and 31, see it? And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. You know what an excursus is? Or a footnote? It's a little footnote. Seems like at this point, I'll just drop a little commentary on maybe what is not happening here. This isn't necessary, but it's such an unusual birth announcement. Sometimes the Ave Maria, the Mary full of grace. What's the deal with Mary here? She is highly favored, that's stated, and she's found favor with God, as the angel says it. But many people today do believe that in these words, we find that Mary in herself is full of grace. What do you think of that? And that she somehow earned this favor from God. And that she's actually able to serve as a source of favor, to give this to others who ask of her. Now, it seems to go against the nature of what grace is. Grace is a gift, something that God gives that you don't deserve, you didn't earn, you didn't merit it. So we're not talking in those terms. Grace is not a wage. It's something given by God freely. So this doesn't lead to the conclusion that Mary is sinless. It doesn't lead to the conclusion that she should be worshipped in any way. And it doesn't mean that she's able to answer your prayers. Just if you were wondering. But she is favored. I could ask you this too. Are you favored? Are you favored by God? Have you received grace from God that you didn't earn. It was just given to you because God wanted to give it to you. Yes, she's specifically graced with this favor to bear God's son. We don't want to miss that. That's straightforward here. It's reason enough to rejoice in what the Lord's doing, but we're rejoicing in his grace. Favored by God. She's troubled by these words of announcement, and she's receiving them from an angel. With that brief excursus set aside for now, I'll lead you to maybe a more simple thought. The virgin birth. Virgin birth. You say, well, that's not simple. That's true. It's not simple. I'm kidding. We did go over this somewhat in the catechism question earlier today. It's worthy of its own study, but leaving some complexities aside, we don't want to miss the obvious part of the teaching here, that God did send us his son, and that gave you a Christmas, the birth of the Christ. And we rejoice in that. It's announced. It's Mary. It's Mary news to Mary. It's joyful news for you to repeat. And we do so in songs. We do so in our prayers. We do so as we hear this word again, and we delight ourselves in its gospel truth. Now, as far as how God did this and how God sent Jesus to us, you can notice at least this much this morning. Gabriel, he makes it perfectly clear that the baby's conception is going to be the result of something that God did. Isn't that explicit in the passage? The Holy Spirit's going to do this. This isn't going to be something you're doing. If you look with me at verses 34 and 35, evidently Mary was taking Gabriel's words to mean that she, as a virgin, was somehow going to conceive a child and give birth. And by the way, Mary's not naive. She knows where babies come from. And she hasn't done something to make that happen. And so she asks a pretty natural question. See that, verse 34? How will this be, since I am a virgin? Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. In other words, Mary, God is going to do something in your womb that will be a miracle. It's so unprecedented, so unusual, that the child in you will be called the Son of God, the Holy One. He's totally pure. There's no sin in him. Totally, uniquely set apart for a special purpose, as promised, as prophesied. And as a believer in the Lord God of the universe today, you can ask yourself throughout a sermon like this, is this so difficult to believe? Now, maybe you're thinking, no, I got this one. I got this one. God could do whatever, and that's how this passage is going to end. Nothing's impossible with God. You say, I believe that. And you rejoice in it. Good. Here's a virgin birth. Technically, it's not a virgin birth. It's a virgin conception at this point. And it's something that's not impossible for God. And in direct response to Mary's question, sort of a living proof that God is able to do these things, since notice how Gabriel responds in verses 36 and 37. What does he ask? Cites the case of John the Baptist's mother. Look at that, verse 36. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. All right, so here's a very specific application of the power of God. He references the passage before this. He just visited another household. God has quite a history of dealing with the womb. That's one of the areas of his handling. He oversees what happens in the... Remember Sarai? We've been over Sarai. Sarah, Abraham's wife. She wasn't supposed to have a child. She did. Hannah, was she supposed to have a... Well, how about Elizabeth? No, she's barren too. The Lord oversees the womb. And so far as the details of the baby's arrival here, We want to rejoice this morning in, one, the fact that the baby arrived. We know that. He arrived in the fullness of time, as we heard earlier today. He arrived the way God wanted him to and when God wanted that to happen. And in short, he arrived with this full purpose and the full power of God. Nothing's impossible for him. And so I hope you see it's entirely inappropriate for us to have the refrigerator door response. You hear again the birth of your Savior, and you think, oh, that's okay. And you'll pass by the fridge and you'll see, yeah. Or you hear the song in a shopping place and you think, yeah. And the deep words, even the song we sang earlier today, again, it's almost exhausting to sing some Christmas songs because they're so deep. They state things that are miraculous and most unusual. And we delight in them because they're true. So that's a little bit about the arrival. Let's look at the baby's name. And this point won't take too long. There's a lot that could be said about it, but we live in a day when there are a lot of unusual names given. It seems to be a challenge. Who can name their kid something really odd? You might think, you did that. No, Prescott's a family name, so I can do that. Maybe their family name. Maybe they're trying to express a wish that you have for the child. Say, I'm going to name my child Princess. I'm going to name her Rocky. All right. How about this? I'm going to name my child Savior. Well, okay. We'll see how that goes. That's very unusual. Savior. And since we're all in church this morning, you have reason to believe that you know who this baby is. Again, no surprise here. Gabriel declares it in verse 31, so why even talk about this point at all? Aren't we all Christians here? Short answer to that is, I don't know. I mean, probably not. Maybe. I'm speaking to you like you are, and I'm aware that some aren't. I don't know your heart, but if you're a Christian, then you've heard these claims, and you've embraced these claims, and you know the baby's name is Jesus. And you may even be delighting in him today and dialed into the tune and the lyric of every song we sing. And or you could say, wait a minute, are you trying to say that it's possible to go to church, and I mean faithfully, and still not understand who Jesus is? You ever know someone like that? Who hears the gospel over and over again and just... And if you are a believer, is it possible to show up here on any given Sunday and not rejoice, really? I mean, you got here, but you still struggle with the rejoicing part. And even during Christmas. Not with the Christmas spirit sometimes, huh? You tell me that. If you're a follower of the true child, are you delighting in him this morning? Excited about this announcement of his birth? Let alone the excitement of the reason for the birth, and that was so that you could live, so that you could stand righteous before God because of his work for you, because he came here and did what you couldn't and died in a way that you couldn't and rose in a way that you will because of him. Again, verse 31 tells us the baby's name is Jesus. It means quite literally, maybe you've heard this before, the name means the Lord saves. Or Yahweh is salvation, you could say. Baby's name, Savior. And some people might ask, you ever hear this? Jesus saves. Right, you've heard that. That's a declaration, that's a proclamation. And some might say, saves from what? I'm doing fine. I got a job. I got 2.3 kids. I've got two cars in my three-car garage. What else do I need? Now, Matthew, in his account, does state it explicitly, explaining that the name given to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Ah, Savior from sins, Savior from the wrath of God. Ah, so are you a sinner? Have you fallen short of God's law, his word, his command? Have you missed the mark? Of course you have. And you know you have. You know you have. So what do? You look to the one who's announced here. And you surrender to him. He's the one that's seated on David's throne right now. And in God's good pleasure, he sent this only one as the way. And he's able to save you from your sin. As we heard earlier in the catechism reading, how does the holy conception and birth of Christ benefit you? Answer, he's our mediator. With his innocence and perfect holiness, he removes from God's sight my sin, mine since I was conceived. That's the gospel truth. The sent one was sent not only to the cradle, he was sent to a cross to serve as the final sacrifice for your sin. That's good news. That makes for a Merry Christmas and a great salvation. The baby's name is Jesus, and you knew that. And in every way, his name is Jesus, Savior. Well, finally, we've got the arrival. It's unusual. The name, it's unusual, really. And then lastly, we'll look at the unusual wait that's announced here. Rejoice in his wait. And you say, what, you mean like more than 9 pounds? Way more than 9 pounds. 10? Well, listen to the weightiness of the matter described in verses 32 and 33. This is big picture, heavy stuff is what we'll call it. Verse 32, speaking of Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, with that just as part of the birth announcement, I think you can see how weighty the baby is. There's a lot that could be said about any child, I suppose. But even before he's born, which is exactly what's going on here. By contrast, we've got kids, and we gave them names, although Caleb didn't have a name the day he was born. That took us a while to come around to that one. The other kids had names. They got their birth announcement cards, and maybe you got one. You got the name, you got the date, and you got the weight. Basic stats, but no batting average yet because they hadn't played anything yet. He said, well, why didn't you put on there that they got a great sense of humor and they like music and they like sports, something like that? Because, you know why you didn't put that on the card? We didn't know that. Not then. Why not? They weren't born yet. You follow that? But here in God's providence and in his plan, the announcement here, you see that Gabriel's announcing how weighty this child is. He's announcing the one who came, proclaimed since the Genesis. Again, the serpent crusher. That one. That's who's coming? That's right. He's the one that's foretold for millennia. He's Messiah. He is Christ, the Lord. He is Savior, Jesus. And he's going to assume the throne of David himself and reign as king over the kingdom of God. The angel knew all that. Now remember, Messiah was expected To be from David's royal line, how do we know this baby is announced rightfully as the heir here? Verse 32 says so. And if you need more proof, you can look back at verse 27. That does assure you that even the earthly father was in the line of David, right? See that? David's house, Joseph. And what makes the announcement even more weighty, and by that I mean heavy and full of meaning, is the fact that the baby's throne, this is explicit too, the kingdom, the reign, will be forever. It doesn't end. That's weighty. There are kings on this earth. Have you thought of this? Whenever you get all worked up about whatever, whoever's ruling, they're all gone. Whoever's ruling now will be gone. What do you think of that? Again, no surprise there. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm telling you something that you need to know here. This king is seated now and will not be unseated ever by anyone. What do we sing with the psalmist? Even the picture of the enemies going down. The footstool for my feet. That's King Jesus. That's the baby announced here. In advance. It's very weighty. In every way, this is a very unusual birth announcement. And yet it's calling the hearer to respond with trust and hope. And sooner or later, you need to receive the announcement for the first time and to receive it again and again and again and with joy. Repeatedly, as we repeat the sounding joy. The delight the Father has to send this child to sinners. Tonight we're going to pick up on this theme. No surprise there, it's the candlelight service. We celebrate the light who comes into the world. The birth of the child. We'll even ask tonight, what are you expecting? Or maybe more personal sounding, are you expecting? Are you expecting? Mary, of course, believed all these things were possible with God. Her heart of submission to the Lord could hardly be more obvious if you look with me at the closing verse, verse 38. See that? And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The baby Jesus has long been announced. Through the prophets and through these angelic voices. You know that. And you get to celebrate him coming to you in the flesh again today with a lot of people, with the whole globe. The Lord has come with salvation. And when this announcement sinks into your heart and transcends a simple place like a refrigerator or a gasping breath of a Christmas carol and transcends the simplicity of a statistical card announcing a humble birth, we are reminded of this birth, most unusual, the new birth that he's able to give, that the one born is able to give you his spirit to make you born again. That's an announcement worth hearing as well. Because of who Jesus is, what he has done, we sing about the child. We tell others about this king because he came to save exactly as announced. Let's pray together. Father, we have heard again the grand announcement that you were pleased to send your son into the world to save sinners. And as a people who have heard this birth announcement year after year, Father, we would ask you again today to make it an occasion for true rejoicing, for true delighting in you, and not simply as something that we casually assign in our lives. Because, Father, we need to celebrate you and the goodness of the Christ. So we ask for these joys to be given to us by your Spirit and realized in Jesus' name. Amen. Angels from the realms of glory indeed proclaim Messiah's birth, and that will serve as our response of rejoicing. It's number 313, and we'll stand as we sing.